Hello, everybody. I'm Jeremy. And we're going to be discussing about Hacking with Care, a project of mine that is, I hope, also a project of yours and a project of us all. You may know me from my previous life as an activist. I used to run around the world, living in hotel rooms and airport terminals, repeating all day long how the internet should be protected, how freedom should be defended, and used to do that quite a lot. You may remember fights against the ACTA, the Anti-Counterfeiting Trade Agreement. I wrote about 250 press releases against the ACTA, spoke in a few hundred conferences. You may remember the telecoms package in the EU or other legislative fights. I'm not mentioning that to brag about it. Actually, on the contrary, because I was doing that for so many years, I was blazing on my little cloud. My feet weren't touching the ground. I was constantly on the go. I wouldn't even spend time in my home anymore because I was always on the road. And you know what happens in those situations? I burnt out, like I crashed. My body segfaulted. After years of just not caring, just blazing my way through the issues, I hadn't seen a doctor in 5 years. Well, I saw five doctors in 1 year. My body told me, yes, you want this microphone? You want it back? Okay, you're sure?
Continue.
Okay,
but I removed the other one. So you may want the other one back.
Keep that. You're trying to disconcentrate me, but it's failing. I'm still very much focused. So I burnt out after all these years. My whole body told me to shut the fuck up and stop. It went from an abrasion of cornea up there to acute diarrhea down there, sorry for the details, to a broken rib, to acute bronchitis. All these things taken together are not so important, but on such a short period of time, it was my whole body ringing the alarm. So I tried to ignore this for some time, and then figured that, well, I'd better listen to my body. So this is where I am now. I recovered from my burnout. I'm fine now. Thanks for asking. Oh, hi, Ingo. But this prompted an important reflection for myself. Please come, enter, and sit down. It prompted a very important reflection for myself, which was, how am I supposed to do activism without dying? How could I still be doing it in 5 years, 10 years, how many years from now, without being dead? And more generally, how do we organize movements, social movements, political movements, without going through what seems so frequent as a pattern, the pattern of the one person army hero slash tyrant slash martyr. You may have known that from your causes, communities, and activists, those people who found a project, who run the project, who know everything about the project, who know everyone who interacts with the project, who feel like if they're not doing it, nobody will be doing it, and end up doing more and more and more and more. And you probably have seen that around yourself. There is usually a very clear ending to that, which is either the project fails or the person burns out. So I was already thinking for quite some time, as part of all the movements I've been part of, how to make movements sustainable, how can we keep the joy that should be at the heart of whatever we're doing, because this joy is actually a very powerful engine, a very powerful drive, and something that our robo-lobbyists opponents usually don't have. So it's an edge we have over our adversaries. And so I was already asking myself those questions. Everybody had to accelerate because my body told me to, well, shut the fuck up. And this is when, by the way, I promise I won't spend this whole time speaking about myself. It's just an intro. And this is about when I met who became my dearest friend, Emily. Emily was introduced to me through a common friend. And we sat down one evening and I asked her, well then, what you do? And she told me, I'm a massage practitioner. And I'm, ah. I probably opened a mouth equally big, not knowing anything about massage, that some people open when you tell them about, you know, hacking the kernel or whatever super technical there is about. And I, yeah, humbly told her, well, sounds cool, but I really don't know nothing about massage. And Emily told me, well, you know, I've read it all. I've read it all, what you've done with La Quadrature and ACTA, what you're doing in the European Parliament. I read this philosophy essay of Julian Assange in 2006. I followed WikiLeaks. I support these causes and these movements. I want to contribute to what all of you are doing. But I want to contribute with what I know, with what I like, and with what I do, which is massage and other types of well-being practices. And I'm, huh, that's interesting. I honestly have no clue how to do this. And she told me, well, I would love to contribute, but you know, I'm not a hacker. I guess you've heard this sentence before. You've heard it from people either suffering some inferiority complex or people who were trained in ways where they think that people are either, you know, doctor or lawyers or this or this or that. You may have heard it from people who were not part of our circles. You may have heard sentences such as, oh, I'm not an engineer, or oh, I'm not a computer genius, or oh, I'm not a developer, by people who didn't feel empowered yet about the use of technology. So this rose in a very interesting question. It was a turning point, I think, in our discussion. And then I told her about my upcoming burnout. I told her that, I don't know, this week I had slept 3 hours and 3 hours and 3 hours over 3 nights, that I had taken 7 airplanes, that one of these days I had 35 incoming phone calls from journalists and whatever shit was my life at the time. And she told me, oh, do you want a massage? And I was, oh, well, I don't know, I guess, yeah, well, let's do it. And as I told you earlier, I wasn't familiar at all with massage and its practice. So she gave me a full body massage of 1 hour, during which about halfway, I figured that my heartbeat and my breathing were probably the lowest they have been in years. I ended up thinking about nothing else than this contact of somebody giving pressure and giving some of their energy to somebody else to make them feel good, and ended up crawled in a fetal position and fell asleep. I woke up relaxed as ever while she was putting a nice tiny blanket on me so I wouldn't be cold, and looked at her in the eyes and told her, well, the way you learn and mix techniques together, the way you learn while you do, the way you try to understand people like you understand a system and do something personalized for them, you're a hacker. That's what you are, that's who you are, that's who we all are, but you're definitely a hacker. And she looked at me with a, ha, huh. Which was another defining moment, this moment of empowerment somehow, when she felt like, yeah, and why not? We met 1 week after and she told me, oh, I have this idea, we're gonna do something together. So I'm gonna contribute and you're gonna help me and we're gonna, and this is how Hacking with Care is born. So the objective of Hacking with Care is multiple, and I'll try to detail this here. The first objective is actually to hack care, hacking care, because care, understood as a very general definition, is something that that has been hacked through the ages. So we think of care as a bit more than just well-being. But well-being would be one way of describing care. Care as sharing well-being together, sharing ways of improving each other's well-being, or as Emily puts it, sharing goodness, sharing kindness towards each other. So this is something that fortunately existed before us and before the wiki of Hacking with Care. But the initial idea, the first objective, is that we're gonna hack care together. And I'll go back to this. We're gonna hack care together in many different ways, because we can, because it's fun, And also because well-being and so care in general is, I think, a very dark spot on everybody's vision of the world, everybody around us, I mean, everybody in our hackers and activists communities, everybody who is born in a computer, everybody who grew up so much in contact with machines, maybe in a bit of an introvert way, maybe in a bit of a lonely way. Some of us who didn't develop the same social skills as others, but also some of us with all social skills were just so implicated, so involved in their movements, in their causes, that they give up on care. Like I gave up on proper food, like I gave up on sleep, like I gave up on seeing my dear friends during all these years because, you know, I had something so much more important to do. So I think care is a blind spot in the way we outline our strategies. You know, we see, we fight for equality, we fight for freedom, we fight for justice for all, we fight for our ideas to be pushed in time, we share for values to be shared, we share for knowledge to be shared around, but somehow we always forget that we also fight to stay alive, we also fight to keep spending good times together, we fight to be here for each other. And sometimes this is out of the equation, this is out of the loop. Not only in this model of a one-person army slash tyrant slash martyr that I described earlier. This is for a definition of care and a definition of hacking care that we want to achieve together. Also, we look at care as a tactical tool. Tactical in the sense that care helps you reach your strategic objectives. The same way that writing press releases or editing a wiki or organizing a conference or a congress or going in the street with flyers or whatnot is a tactics to get our movements forward. We want to see care as a tactics. And I'll show you later on what we've produced in that sense. For instance, you're a bunch of people struggling together, fighting together, and you feel that someone is a bit exhausted. Otherwise, we say, oh yeah, yeah, you're exhausted, I'm exhausted too, and let's move on. Then you may think of raising a little flag, and after the lunch break say, hey, why don't we go for 10 minutes away from the computer and let me give you a hand massage. A hand massage will greatly help relieve some of the chronic pain we have when you're all day long, but it's also an occasion for two people to connect in a very meaningful way. Touching someone is something we're not so much used to in our societies, but very often when it's consented is something that can be very meaningful. And it's a moment when we'll be sharing much more than a massage. It's a moment in which we'll be speaking about how we feel, about how we are, and much more than just the physical pressure of hands on other hands will be shared. Or guess or bet or assumption is that a care is an extremely powerful tactical tool. It's making people feel better when they don't feel good in critical moments or struggles. Maybe the difference between giving up or making a huge mistake or becoming eager or becoming sad and just being able to do it a little bit more. So I mentioned a lot hacking and activism because this is where I come from, because this is in part how I would define myself. But we're not at all aiming at being closed only to hackers, actually hackers, activists, and whistleblowers. And that's my second point, and that's one other objective of Hacking with Care, is to reflect on the very specifics of hackers, activists, and whistleblowers. We all know people in our communities who reached extreme stages of either anxiety or depression or burnout. We know people who committed suicide in the recent years. We know people who suffer amounts of pressure that not many people in the general public can understand. Being isolated without thinking of solitary confinement like Chelsea Manning, which is an extreme example. But just being under house arrest or secluded in some building somewhere for many years, having a whole government agency working full-time to attack you, having just random people attacking you, having powerful governmental or industrial actors investing $100,000 or $1 million to counter everything you do and everything you say, is something that is very hard to explain when you haven't lived it. So, as a matter of fact, Hacking with Care, growing as an informal collective, literally by contact, pun intended, and by affinity, is now a tremendous bunch of hackers, activists, whistleblowers, and people working with them, but also massage therapists, motion therapists, psychotherapists, Chinese medicine practitioners, herbal hackers, tea hackers, and others. As a matter of fact, when we started growing this loose collective, we found out that we were already surrounded by those people who suffer this very specific type of pressure. So one objective of Hacking with Care is to reflect on hacking care, hacking with care, specifically in a first time, towards the people who we consider the most exposed, towards the people who we consider the most at risk. And from then on, what works for hacker and activist that has 200 people in the Department of Defense working against them all day long should work also for the general public. And anyway, reflecting on what are the differences in context is also part of what we want to do. Also, something that is very dear to my heart is that, oh, hi. Is that when you reflect on what it is we're doing, it is sometimes very hard to take a distance. I told you I've been sending thousands of press releases. I've been speaking in thousands of conferences. I've been giving those thousands of interviews. When you're doing it, you don't see how absurd some of it may be. Maybe 2 out of 10 press releases were actually helpful. And maybe the others I should have gone fishing or walking in the forest or just drinking tea or just sleeping. So it's very hard to take a distance. But the more I do it, I'm fortunate enough, as I told you, that I survived my burnout. So I went through phases where I thought I was stopping, but I wasn't really stopping. Then phases where I was slowing down. Then a phase where I actually managed to stop. It took me 1 year to get there. And a phase of about 1 year where I stayed stopped, after which I could start again. So during these phases, I had a tremendous, privileged occasion to reflect about myself, to reflect about activism. And one of my dearest conclusions is that what's left after years of activism, what's left beyond the movements, what's left beyond the structures, beyond the conflicts that somehow arise, beyond the fights, the wins, the loss, what remains is the solidarities. What remains is a deep, dense network of solidarities when we interact with each other in a meaningful, in a profound, in a human way. You don't need a club, a congress, a Verein, NGO or whatnot. But they happen along the way. They happen along those lines. Those clubs, congress, Verein and whatnot are mere infrastructures, mere vessels, temporary tools. What remains after everything are those solidarities. The way we know each other, the way we trust each other, the way we are used to each other, the way we tolerate each other, like in true love. When you love someone, you know their flaws, you admit their flows, you route around their flows. When you want to go to conflict to someone, you will exploit their flows. As soon as they will say one word, you say, aha, you said that word again. And then you can try to steer trouble. You can generate bad energies. And sometimes it's useful when you fight, but it happens too often in between ourselves. When you love someone, you hear the word and may say, well, you use this word again. Please don't be that much of an asshole because you know how much I love you, you know? And this might work way better to help people change their behavior than just attacking them. So this is all part of those solidarities, getting to know each other. I remember vividly people, I shouldn't be giving names, but Marcus Beck et al., Ott van Dalen from Bits of Freedom, Simona Levy from Xnet in Spain, were among these people when we were in need, when we were campaigning for something, when there was an upcoming vote. I would immediately send them a Jabber message. They would immediately reply, we're in, count us in. We will translate the shit. We will call on our people to be with you. They didn't, oh yeah, let me talk with my board, let me talk with my lawyers, let us proofread, do our own analysis. No, because we trusted each other enough that we could just go together, be efficient together. And any of the victories we had in the European Parliament was mostly due to this loose network of solidarities. So reflecting on those solidarities means reflecting on our movements, but also means reflecting on our future movements. What can we do the next time we'll be creating a Verein, a Congress, an NGO or something? Next time we'll be sitting with each other with a brilliant project in mind, with a beautiful objective for the world, with our glorious diversity and differences in backgrounds and sizes and shapes, and we will be willing to do something together. Our idea is that we want to share this notion of care as a mandatory part of our movements and as a mandatory part of these solidarities and the solidarity networks that we are building. So this is for the theory, this is for the objectives, and I'm forgetting one. Good. Not too late. Emily would kill me. No, she wouldn't. She's too kind for that. But she'd be a little pissed. Because to me, that's the most meaningful part of all is, well, as in general, I'm all for practicing what you want to exist in the world, you know, leading by example and not by saying, oh, yeah, you guys should be doing this. See you, bye. You know? So in those 3 years and a half, maybe 4 years that we know each other, as I told you, I knew nothing about massage the day I met Emily. I know not a lot, but I know quite a little now about massage. I've been given those head massages called the monkey mind massage. You may be familiar with the monkey mind when, oh yeah, I'm doing, oh yes, and this, and oh, the Twitters, oh, an email, oh, and this, and this, and this, and that. And you end up not being able to think anymore. I'll show you later on about the monkey mind massage. I've mitigated chronic headaches with the monkey mind massage. I've mitigated anxiety attacks with it. I've just made people feel good. I learned hand massage, foot massage, back massage. But while I was learning massage from Emily, Emily learned about crypto and about OPSEC. And this is exactly what we want to do. This is the second side, or the third or fourth side of the same coin. Yes, it's a coin with many sides. We want to bring care to hackers, activists, and whistleblowers. But it means that we want more practitioners, healthcare practitioners, massage practitioners, Chinese medicine practitioners, motion therapists, psychotherapists, to be able to come to us. And I'll tell you how we'll be doing this. But coming to us and, for instance, speak in public or be part of a workshop is something already. But what if we have to send those people in places where people are, I don't know, in solitary confinement? No, not solitary confinement because it's solitary, silly me. Confined, let's say, like in isolation, maybe because house arrest, maybe because otherwise isolation, or maybe because on some frontline somewhere. If we want more caregivers, caretakers to get in contact with those people, they need to know quite a few things about OPSEC. They need to go there without a phone or with a battery removed. They need to take notes on something else than a computer. They need to be able to use at least some encrypted communications just to set an appointment. Otherwise, the caregivers could become a risk, a liability. And if you have somebody who should come in your embassy or prison or house arrest or underground bunker of an office or whatever front line you're standing on, and if those people send you an encrypted email from a Gmail account and give you an encrypted phone call and come with a computer and so on, then they may harm you more than they will make you feel good. Also, and I encourage you, if you're curious about it, I never ask myself this question. You will find on Wikipedia the most ancient version remaining of the Hippocratic Oath. This oath that doctors, and I think caregivers in general, are supposed to take, mostly doctors, whenever they become doctors. They pledge that they will help people to the best extent. The pledge, I don't remember the content of it. But one part of it, and this one is, I think, from 900 years ago, says that information collected during the act of care should, unless it is of general interest, be protected as the most precious thing. Does it remind you of something? Like, I don't know, privacy? Security of communications, cyber. People who are caregivers today have a moral obligation to protect their patients' data. Most of them have no clue on how to do this. And it's normal. I mean, they haven't spent half of their life in a computer like us. So the idea is to make knowledge flow both ways, to bring care to activists and hackers and whistleblowers, but also to bring hacker ethics and hacker tools to caregivers. We want to organize crypto care parties, for instance, where people could give a massage and receive in exchange an introduction to how to encrypt their email or Jabber messages. So that's it now for the objectives. And let's go to the more practical, more meaty part of the story. So that's hacking care, that's hacking with care. Now, how do we do it? So as I told you, I've met Emily, I think about 4 years ago. The project has slowly grown since then. I'm used to fast-paced campaigning, you know, and those press releases you send every week because you have to beat the drum. So people will care about you. We did something completely different with Hacking with Care. We decided we would just take our time, go by affinity, and do this activism, if you want to call it that way, in a much more natural and a much more human way. So we took our time to conceptualize it, to discuss it around, to meet people in our first circles, know how they thought about it. It took us, I don't know, so dozen different ways of explaining it to people before people even started caring, pun intended, about it. For years, we would speak of it with prominent hackers and activists who'd be, yeah, massage, yeah, you goddamn hippie. I have no time for your shit. And it's the same who 1 year, 2 years later came and said, oh, I burnt out, or oh, a colleague of mine burnt out, or oh, a friend of mine got depressed. Now I see what you're talking about. Now, can you please tell me more about it? So it took us this time to manage to speak it in a way where it would become more understandable, more obvious. It was obvious to us because this magical encounter between Emily and I, she was at this time in her life as a care practitioner, with this interest into hacking and politics, and I was in this time in life with hacking and politics with an interest in not dying and care in general. But it usually takes more time for people to understand. So we, as much as we matured the concept, we also gathered forces. As I told you, we have oh, it's impossible to tell how many people are part of the collective because we don't want people to be part or outside of it. There is no membership card. And some of you maybe feel already like you're part of it. I hope so. But we have about 80 or 100 people subscribed to our mailing list, I think. And as I told you, it includes motion therapists, psychotherapists, shamans, other gurus of plant and yoga, and very diverse set of skills. That's one thing that from the start we wanted to make sure of, is that we won't build silos. We want to break the barriers that usually happen in between the different skill sets, because we want to hack all of them together. So it took us those years, and we now feel very much happy about it, very much ready. Well, some of you may know about the tea house we put up on the fourth floor of the Congress. Who knows about the tea house?
Oh, that's so lovely.
Well, the tea house is actually born at the same time as Hacking With Care. I don't know if the tea house is a sub-project of Hacking With Care, if Hacking With Care is a, no, probably this way around, but they're just born together. That was the idea, that for once we could come to a Hacker Congress, and instead of building a cool thing with Arduino and LEDs, we could bring something that would make people feel better. And I don't know what you think of it, but to me it worked already to some extent, and of course things need to be perfected, but... So along these years, we were perfecting the formats, and now we have quite a clear view based on what we've done so far about what we want to do in the future. As I said, leading by example, you know, and just doing it. So we will be mostly, but the list is of course not exhaustive and not exclusive, we'll be mostly trying to create moments, to create occasions. The term may seem a little bit vague, that's on purpose, is because we don't want to necessarily organize conferences or congresses or workshops or those very formal things. A moment can be an encounter between three people. It can be a long weekend. It can be a one-to-one session. It could be a chat over Jabber. It could be a group chat over some encrypted group chat protocol that, if you know any, it's working well. Free software, decentralized and end-to-end encrypted, I'm very much interested into. A moment, an occasion can be anything, and it has been anything so far. We've organized sessions at the tea house and otherwise, oh, there are seats available, by the way, for you people to come and sit if you want. So at the tea house, we organized several sessions already. In the first occurrence of the tea house at the OHM, we organized a session that was called Observe Hack Massage, where teams of three people rotated between one massageur, one massagee, and one observer. We improvised massage tables, and everybody learned a lot. Each year we do the tea house at the Congress, almost each year we have also self-organized improvised sessions, sometimes around one tea table. Somebody's, yeah, I'm a psychotherapist. Oh, really? Oh, then can you tell me about manic depressive psychosis? I'm asking for a friend. Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, well, who has experience about it? What do you know about it? It can be very informal. We tagged along the Logan CIJ Symposium for investigative journalists on its two occasions before dear Gavin McFadden passed away some weeks ago. And we had here beautiful moments where people who are working on the front line came to us with very, very specific questions. You know, sometimes, you know, I hurt like this and like that, or I can't sleep at night anymore, or I have this colleague going so bad in this and that way, we can't talk to her or him anyway, what can we do? And we tried our best. So that's for the moments. I would say even almost, no, it's not more important. It was somehow more pleasing to us, we organized our very own and first Hacking With Care sessions at the Seabase last September. It was really important and meaningful to us because for the first time, we organized our very own time and space. We weren't depending on somebody else's congress or somebody else's symposium, or like any of these events I described, but we decided or time or format or schedule and learned so much from it. We decided initially that we would parallelize sessions, but ended up being a very small group, like about 20 people, of people who were all so interested, so interesting, who all had so much to contribute, that we ended up serializing. We just made space, made time, made way, so everybody could participate to everything. And it was so amazing that at the end of the weekend, we had those most introvert nerds who were speaking so softly, who were averse of eye contact and somehow touching, who had learned about massage, who were slightly more assertive, more curious, and we felt it working along those 2 days. That was really beautiful. Those moments can also be one-to-one. And of course, I will not be able to detail much of this because privacy. But I've spent actually a tremendous part of 2015 and 2016. As I told you, I was recovering from my burnout. I regained control over my own time and timeline. So I started being able to be present again for friends. And I've done this quite a lot because, as a matter of fact, lots of friends were feeling bad these times for very various reasons. So we've all done some of it. But while doing it, we learn. We care a lot about privacy, as you may understand. So we find ways of interacting with each other while respecting the privacy of the people we are trying to be present with. And I'll let you think about it, because it may be really, really edgy, really difficult. What if I say, and this is entirely made up, oh, I have a friend, well, I need your help because you're a psychotherapist, so I have this friend, she's a woman, she's in her 30s, she's feeling this and this and that. Do you think it might be manic depressive? Oh, what does she do? Well, she's an activist. Is she working alone or with other people? The more you will reveal, the more you will enable to profile somehow somebody. So how can you share information about somebody without violating their privacy? Is something we've been trying to work very hard on it. I told you that Emily learned OPSEC while I learned about massage. She's the one who sometimes gives me lessons of OPSEC. When I tell her, oh, I've met a friend and she's feeling like this, and she's, shut the fuck up. I don't need to know that. How can I help, you know? And so we are practicing as we go and learning tremendously as we do. So that's for the first point of creating moments, creating occasions in time and space. There will be more Hacking with Care sessions. We've been invited to Warsaw to do one. I don't know how and when. We'll, again, take our time. I'll make sure that we have more events here in Berlin, maybe one during the spring. Spring is nice in Berlin. And I invite you to of course, join our mailing list and blah, 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 to follow what will be happening. But also, we've been creating resources. And that's a very important thing for me because, you know, that's the hacker's way. Proof of concept and running code. So in that case, the moments, the occasions would be the proof of concept. The running code would be what we produce and publish on our wiki. So this is the wiki of La Quadrature du Net. Old reflex. No, this is not the wiki of La Quadrature du Net. This is the wiki of Hacking with Care, on which, shit, can you edit that out? No. On which, if you click here on projects, well, you can also, because it is also quite resources, we have links with other libraries of documents you will find about the various fields we are describing. We have, of course, the privacy and email self-defense for caregivers. We have hacker ethics and history. and manifestos to help understand what we do and why we do it. And if you click the care thing here, you'll see, collection here is, okay, it's not so, not as developed as I thought it was. No, it's here, the project part here, I think I'm the proudest of. If you go down, you'll see the rise of the massage as a bunch of documents we've produced, and also some massage protocols. I will show that to you in a sec. By massage protocol, we, well, really like a protocol. It's more or less the same thing, is what you give, what you get, how you interact. This is a Mausad. It's Portuguese for handshake. Emily is living in Porto, in Portugal, right now. So it's a guide about hand massage. I only have one copy here, unfortunately, so I will circulate it around, or maybe you can browse it afterwards, so I'll keep your focus. that's a hack. I could show you the PDF, because it's obviously a PDF that you can print and distribute. If you're running a hackerspace somewhere, I invite you to print a few copies and leave them in a corner. Oh, I'll just show you the wiki. Oh no, the PDF version is much prettier. Let me show it to you. Yay. So is there such a thing as page down you could, yes. Oh no, I don't know. It's a German keyboard. Space, the final frontier. Thank you. So you can see those lovely original illustrations here, and literally like a manual, like a how-to. It explains to the noobs how to give hand massage. So you'll be amazed. Try it with somebody you know and feel comfortable with, and you'll be amazed of the reaction of that person. Then maybe that person you know and trust can give it back to you. You'll be amazed. Try it, especially if your hands hurt when you grab objects. If when you use strength in your arm, you feel some pain within the fingers, within the whole hand, within the wrist. Those things we all have when we type all day long. You'll feel the increase. But that's you will also find on the wiki. What the hell is that? Oh, there was a browser here. Oh, camp. Let me try. Sorry for the. Can you pause the streaming? No, I'm just joking. What happens when I type HACK here? Okay, back to the wiki. Also on the wiki, you'll find a pre-menstrual full body massage, which is a massage that alleviates the sometimes extreme pains that some women feel during their periods. It's apparently based on some mix of techniques, not all of them Chinese, but some of them. Let me zoom that out. Where is a plus on this? That's strange. So you'll find all this on the wiki. There is this pre-moon massage is the name here. Also, the monkey mind massage is still in the making. You may recognize this monkey. So we are currently working on better illustrations in the same spirit on how to do the monkey mind massage. And so these are very concrete, as I told you, very tactical resources that you can use as of today. One that is very dear to my heart is this one that you'll find also on the wiki. And I can't resist, because we may have time. Do we have time? I've been speaking for too long already. But still, I can't resist to reading it to you. It's one page, and it's called A Few Words on Ethical Conduct in Massage. I may skip the rest of some points for the sake of brevity, but it goes on. Always observe the precautions and contraindications consult the massage precaution and contraindication page. Respect each other. No discriminative or prejudiced speech, attitude or behavior, no violence, harassment, coercion is ever appropriate. Observe hygiene and safety rules. Wash your hands before and after each session. Use disposable paper covers or clean towels to protect the table, cushions, clothes. Work in a safe, clean, ventilated space. Use only good quality products. Be transparent and honest about your actual qualifications in caregiving. Do not pretend to have skills or knowledge you don't have. An attentive amateur can accomplish a great deal already, so no need to brag. Do not give a massage to someone who is not quite sure they want one. Here, like in love, it has to be a yes, uppercase yes, from the beginning to the end. Anyone can decide to stop whenever they want. It may sound obvious to many of us, but not to everyone, of course. Respect physical reserves. No one has to take their clothes off for massage if they don't want to. Very good massage can be provided with clothes on. Similarly, if you, the giver, are not comfortable with nudity, you should say so. Because massages induce relaxation of the nervous system, it can sometimes trigger erection or reactions similar to those of sexual arousal in both men and women. It's not so frequent that you should worry about it. And besides, it is really nothing to be ashamed of. The masseuse should bear in mind that, however sexual in appearance, those reactions might not be experienced as such by the receiver. And so they should, bold, never be considered as an invitation to act on them. They can sometimes be surprising emotional release during massage or other forms of care. Please familiarize yourself with this possibility reading our article, emotional release during massage, what's happening and how best to respond. Stay calm, composed, kind. Be especially wary and mindful of the possibility of personal information being revealed to you in that moment. Do not, uppercase not, encourage words or let the person tell you too much about themselves. If necessary, let them know that your reluctance to hear more is for their own good. Discuss privacy settings with your partner prior to the sessions. What would they be comfortable with? Can you talk about this massage later to someone else? The default privacy settings in massage is whatever happens in the massage room stays in the massage room, period. Don't mention to others that you have given a massage to that someone. And finally, massage for children only in presence of their parent slash adult tutor. No one-to-one sessions. So, you see, this is to me a very useful compilation of recommendations. I think it is also part of the Mao Zedong handshake guides. And this is how we combine care as a tactical tool, but also care as an ethical tool, care as a complement of the ethical values we assume that we mostly share and at all costs that we want to propagate. Also, so that's for moments and occasions, that for producing resources. There's something that you probably understood about already that is ongoing, that is less defined, and that is research. That is research in the sense of security research that we all use sometimes instead of just breaking into stuff. That's research in the sense of everlasting research. It's research in the sense of always learning and be humble about it. We want to research about burnout. We want to research about anxiety. We want to research about psychosis. We want to research about depression and suicide. We want to research about isolation, and especially in whistleblowers, what happens to you when a whole context in which you were working or your whole entourage, your whole community turns against you or cut themselves from you because you acted courageously. And this research should be done, like the rest, in a humble way. We shouldn't pretend like we have answers to everything. We should be asking the questions and provide infrastructure for everyone to be part into answering them. And also it should be done in the most open way, which is on the wiki. So, I figured that I covered most of the points about what we want to do in the future, because you've heard about what we've done in the past so far and have we've been doing it. Basically, what we want to do in the future is more and better of it. So we want more of you to join our mailing list, for instance. We want more of you to be part of our next Hacking With Care sessions. We want you to read the wiki, to edit the wiki. We want you to print those hand massages and give those hand massages. We want you to, maybe even more importantly, to appropriate these issues, those topics, and share them around. Next time you see a fellow hacker or activist and asking themselves, how are you? And getting an answer that is not the conventional, fine, fine, but not so good, that you may think, hey, you know, maybe I could spend an extra minute saying, you want, do we go somewhere and sit down, making that person feel good, feel safe, giving them a hug, and just be there, listen to them. A key thing I forgot to mention earlier, but it's never too late, is that it's fascinating to me to see how much of what we are doing here amounts in the end to presence. The very simple fact, the very simple act of presence. Being there for each other. Being there for somebody else. Being there with a smile, with a hug, with a honest question, with an open ear, with or without a massage. In the end, I think that this presence is somebody we have a lot to learn about, is somebody that is extremely powerful for us to share. It is not only something we give to each other, but is something we immensely receive from. It is part of the power of the mind, the body, and let's call it the soul, or whatever else more impalatable. It is part of this power we all have and that we want to foster. It is part of this power over each other and over the world that we want everyone to be empowered about. And as I told you, it is part of building these solidarities that I am convinced are at the core of each and every movement, cause, and community we care about. We just want more of that. That's Hacking With Care. Thank you. And please, thank you. Save your beautiful energy. Save your beautiful energy because I figured I spoke way too much already. I tend to do that, and I'm sorry about that. Part of doing this Hacking With Care thing is also to try to break down this structure of one entitled person standing above everyone else with a microphone in their hand and everybody shutting up. I somehow failed right now, but all hope is not lost, because I would very, very, very much like to hear not only questions, but contributions from all of you. It can be incisive critics of what you just heard. It can also be experience return, if you want to share your own experience about burnout, about anxiety, about depression. I know it's not easy at all to do in public, so you don't have to. By the way, one of the clever and cool settings we had, we did I'm a psychotherapist, ask me anything. We could do just this. So what we could do is that if you have questions, you could write them on a tiny bit of paper and circulate them with the paper folded here, so we don't have to know that it's you asking the question. You can write anonymous questions, and I will pretend like there is more than the ones you write, so if there's only one, it will not look like it's you. Feel free, you could get some of those very cool Hacking With Care stickers and maybe write your questions on the back, or you know what? Okay, I'll do this, that I will circulate the hand massage guide and the stickers. So, unless we have post-its. Oh, that's even better. So we can provide an infrastructure for privacy-respecting questions, if you want to ask them, or privacy-respecting comments. Please.
At least half of us have to pretend to write something.
Yes, exactly.
We do have a printer downstairs. Anybody interested in copies of that guide? No
one so far? 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, I will make like 10.
Thank you. Printed dual sided.
I'd just be super interested if you have had experiences with people that are not as inclined to be touched by foreign, because there are some people that are quite sensitive when it comes to that. And yeah, I'd be interested if you have an answer, an idea how to deal with that.
It's a very tough question because there could be many reasons for people not liking to be touched, traumatic events or plain old physical parameters, hypersensitivity or something. So I think there might be some psychological ways to get there. It's not about hacking people against their will, but people who don't like contact may tolerate some tiny bit of contact, and you could just start there. Some people who is adverse to contact may be comfortable with just touching the shoulder, for instance, or, you know, respectfully touching the shoulder, and maybe this can bring something. In all cases, this is about trust. So maybe reflecting with that person on who they trust, and if they would be ready or not to try with trusted person one of such massage, but in no way we would force people against their will. I think that, it's about trust. There is an important part of the hand massage guide you will see at the beginning, which is about, it's called getting ready. And intentions, what do you wish to get out of this massage? Well, it's the whole first chapter. And I learned that myself, I had no idea, of course, that you don't, hey, let's go for massage, touch your hands, blah, blah. That's awkward. It's, do you want a massage? Let me tell you about the massage. Are you interested? Yes. It would take 10 to 20 minutes. Do you have any chronic pain in your hands? Anything chronic I should know of? No? Good. So let's sit down like this. Do you feel comfortable? I feel comfortable too. So I take your hand. So I'm going to go here and there and go little by little to like establish contact. Like really like in a protocol. You don't start dumping packets somewhere. You open the connection first. So I think this is where there is a little bit of wiggling space to try to make people more comfortable than they usually are. I ended up once. I ended up once giving a massage to such person who was very much adverse to touch, because after some times we got into some trust relationship. Interestingly enough, it was in a context where other people were present, and that person had a very high smile and told me afterwards that she felt good about it. So I think, yeah, we can maybe maneuver here. Ingo.
For the streaming
and the recording, especially for that question, I often say on quantum level, we are all dancing together. Maybe one of the most beautiful ideas of, we are one wave in time and space to go together, but then it was here in some, it's already like everybody is excited because it's party mode at Chaos Computer Club, rare occasion, and I was to level up oxygen in our room climate to ask for, let's open the window, touching somebody like AU. And that was like already too much of contact. So the way how to massage, when you say it's not about pressure on body, there is not much body to press with mine, so I prefer not to be massaged in like a what most of the people think of a massage. I am, if it's about to gain energy from somebody else because I am low down, prefer shiatsu. Massage where it's like I feel somebody is really trying to give it to me, but I don't feel any force or in the meaning of physical pressure. But if it's not so far to be like, okay, we're turning into a massage mode now, but it's like, hey, I want to open the window. The environment is so loud that it's like, I do not poke people. I have not a poking stick with me, but I was really surprised when somebody turned on me, so please do not touch me. And we have people here in our fine circles being so sensitive, you know, they, you can understand that they are not comfortable into touching because their biggest activity level is cortex, keyboard, but physical activities are not our first choice.
Thanks for that. Yeah, of course, it's something that we can choose to develop or not. It's about acknowledging our glorious diversity, like in everything else. I thank you for your contribution, and it reminds me to specify at this time that I've spoken mostly only about massage, but it's because that's where we come from, Emily and I. That's the skill she brought to the set. But it's also about psychotherapy. It's about, well, motion therapy is some form of massage, but Chinese medicine and the such. There are many ways we can use with each other to make each other feel good that do not imply the touch. If somebody is not comfortable with being touched, we can just speak to them. We can just suggest to use this very relaxing herbal mix as an infusion to feel better. There are many other ways than massage. I was focusing on that because, yeah, that's historically how we came from. But as I said earlier, we do not want to build barriers in between skills. Yes?
Yeah, two small more remarks as well. One is that I like your hacker approach, and on the other hand, hackers have the this problem solving thing and mentality, and in a way taking care is solving problems as well, but very often not the entry point. There people want to be taken care of and not their problem solved by a white man in worst case who's telling them they don't have problems but rather should do this and that. And the other one where I would like to ask you, had you ever had a situation or can you imagine or someone else here where you noticed, okay, this is where we amateurs should leave our fingers away but rather get the person into professional help? Have you any points for yourself there, how far you go in a way?
Thank you. Of course, that's two very valid points. I'm very pleased, well, it should be the norm, but we all know where we come from, that whenever we organize Hacking with Care events, we had a beautiful gender diversity. So it wasn't only white men participating, hopefully. Also, asking professionals, yes. While keeping this hacker mentality about who's a professional and who is not. Because having, you know as well as I do, that having a badge or a golden plate on your door doesn't make you good at anything, necessarily. And that some people without the badge or without the golden plate can be good as well. So it's a very tough line on some of these topics to find who can help and who cannot. But of course, in case of a doubt for matters as serious, it's not the hacker approach of ask for forgiveness rather than permission. No. It's hacker approach and a strong ethics of respecting everybody else. So if we don't know, we don't do. But among the collective, we have people who are trained, professional, psychotherapists, motion therapists, Chinese medicine practitioners. Some of them are trained Chinese medicine practitioners, but they don't earn a living doing that. But they had those 5 years of learning in school. To me, this counts as a professional. If there's a doubt, you can always ask for another opinion. And I think I mentioned being humble about it. It starts with acknowledging what we don't know. Again, we cannot ask for forgiveness if we speak about somebody's mind or body or bones and joints. So yes, I think by combining this hacker approach and this careful ethical default privacy respecting diversity and individuality respecting settings, then yeah, we can still progress and have some fun doing it. While getting meaningful results.
Aha.
I have the question, like, sometimes when, in the context of a massage, how do you, like, sometimes the fear comes up that you press the wrong point or that you press on some muscle and do some, like, hurt somebody or do some damage, like, when you don't properly learn it, in air quotes, like, how do you deal with that?
It's a good question. There was one example already at the first event of Hacking with Care, where somebody, we had set up a very cozy massage room with fabric and all, and somebody was, oh, massage, yeah, massage. But we had just written on the room the massage safety rules for the people, and we considered like people would read it before. That person didn't read the sign because, yeah, people sometimes don't read manuals. Would you be surprised? So that's actually a mistake we made, but the person didn't read the warning, entered, get the massage, and on the first touch by Emily, who is a trained and very knowledgeable masseuse, she jumped to the roof and started screaming, and she has chronic disease on her spine, which is something you should never, ever, ever, ever get a massage on, you know? And she didn't mention it. So it's our fault that we didn't make it more explicit that she should speak about it, and it's not about pointing fingers, but it's happened once. So with other forms of care, this was somehow repaired, the damage, there was no damage. The hurt went away after a few minutes, and they spoke over it, and it was fine. It is fine now, and they spoke afterwards. And of course, these are things that happen, but A, if you properly do this init of the session by asking people if they hurt, and acknowledging that you won't massage where it hurts. To massage where it hurts, you need to be much more trained and much more qualified. So if it hurts, don't massage. If there is chronic pain, chronic disease, don't massage. If you respect that already, you'll be quite fine. But then the init is also useful for you to ask your massagee to always give you feedback. Whenever something feels good, they should say it so you could stay longer and do this more. But as soon as something hurts, or feels just uncomfortable, they should say it as well. And knowing that, if you go your own way, you won't start by going "kai," you know, and just putting all the pressure you can into somebody. You will start by gently rubbing, then you will press a bit more and ask, is it comfortable now? Can I press some more? Can I put some more pressure? Yes. Is it still fine? Yes. Can I put some more pressure? Yes. If you want here, I can put a lot of pressure. Do you want that? Yes. And then you go kai with the with the elbow, or in the case of the monkey mind massage, you end up with your skulls or fingers going under the skull here. It's like you enter the base of the skull when you've really warmed it up, and you end up massaging the connection of so many, by tendons, so many muscles that are in the shoulders, in the neck, in the back, that you feel the whole rest of the body going, it is so good. But to get there first, you have to warm everything up around, and of course you go little by little. So I think as long as you, and again, I'm not a trained, big asterisk on my forehead, I'm not a trained massage practitioner. That's from my own practice of massaging several dozen people, maybe a total of 100, I'm not even sure, massage over the last 3 to 4 years. So somebody with a trained background who could tell you even more than that. But I think if you respect all those safety and mutual understanding rules, and if you agree on communicating with each other, the risk is very limited in comparison to what you can give. And if you're not comfortable, as you said, if you're inexperienced with massage, well, you won't do your first massage with a total stranger or somebody you don't know. You'll give it to somebody you know, you trust, somebody who trusts you, that you somehow maybe know physically. It may be a significant other, it may be a good friend, it may be a member of the family. Somebody who will not hesitate 1 second to tell you, hey, shut the fuck up, you know, stop what you're doing immediately. So, like everything else, if we take the humble approach in learning it, there is really no reason to fail. Works for me. Questions, comments, contributions, trolls, songs, poems, experience return. Aha.
I just say keep the monkey, it's good.
Our plan was to make postcards with the monkey mind massage for the Congress, but obviously, yeah, organizing things for Congress, you know how it goes. So maybe next Congress, the monkey will be here. Oh, I thought you were raising your finger. Come on! Free stickers for any question, comment, suggestion, or...
Can I learn from books?
Put it in the microphone for the recording.
Can I learn from books, or do I have to learn it hands-on, supervised?
Pun was intended, right? Hands-on. Tudums. Well, we spoke of such a wide variety of skills that you will probably not be able to learn them all in your lifetime. All of them come from entry points, resources you can start reading. We have quite a collection. Oh no, I'll keep the monkey. But there's quite a collection on the wiki. You've seen this list of topics. I'll show you the list of topics because it's actually a good one. Yep. I still didn't figure where it's page up on a German keyboard, but hell. Care. Here, ageism, alcohol, coffee and cigarettes, anatomy, anxiety and panic, burnout, care in context of activism, care for caregivers, dentistry. What is for dentistry? I don't even know. Oh, Where There Is No Dentist by Murray Dixon, introduction by David Werner, Hesperian Books. So you see, we already have a bit of a grieving, general health, depression. We have already a collection of resources where you can start. Maybe some of them exist in book form if you're into dead trees. But yeah, of course, you can start by reading material. And yeah, thanks for your...
Have you any experience in accompanying foreign groups where you were not part of before, where you don't know anyone and go in to take care of a group? Or do groups always have to take care of themselves? What would probably the more hacker-like approach and not massage as a service?
So that's an excellent question. First of all, we don't want massage as a service. We insist from the beginning on that all we'll be doing with Hacking with Care be for free and be gifted. So we'll try to fund Hacking with Care. If you have any idea for any funding for such, please come and talk to me. But yeah, definitely not massage as a service. So far we've grew from affinity. So we started from where we were and expanded. When we decided to plant our first Hacking with Care session in the sea base, it was to me a bit of a hack. Because of course I know already the people of Seabase. I didn't renew my membership fee since 2011 or something. But I feel like I'm part of it. So it doesn't exactly qualify as such. But many people just passed by from the Seabase who didn't know us and just sat down and learned a bit. So yes, we want to do that more. Some of the Polish activists were there, are now gathering forces and maybe a budget in Poland so they could fly us over. So we would do a session for Polish activists and these NGOs they're part of. So some of them we know, some others we don't. But being parachuted in an entirely unknown setup we haven't done yet. But that's an excellent question, though. And I thank you again for it, because among the occasions we planned, and I haven't talked about earlier, oh, we have the papers for anonymous question, if you want to circulate it around, like there were some, so we'll see. And pretend like you write something. And oh, yes, thank you. More hand massage guide, please. Among those formats, we were thinking of doing some, I nicknamed them the care ops. And the initial idea I had was to target an activist group that, to start with, that we are close off, close from, but it doesn't have to be just that. And offer them, not as a service, but as a gift, that we would come and spend 1 day, 2 days, 3 days in their offices, speak to them collectively, maybe give workshop collectively, but also make individual sessions for those who want. So of course, again, we will start with the people we know. I was thinking of La Quadrature du Net, or EDRI, or maybe Netzpolitik, or of course came to my mind the structures that were the closest to me when I was an activist. But the idea would be to develop that to which other structures, and my, don't take this for granted, it's just an intuition. My intuition is that where we will see people suffering, the organization as a whole would be suffering. That somehow mapping the suffering within an organization would help mapping problems, maybe organizational, structural, or human problem within the organization. If two people tell us they're very different things, one cannot sleep at night and the other cannot eat or has a pain, well, maybe the two are in conflict with each other. Or maybe not, but maybe the two are feeling very uncomfortable. So we are yet to experiment with that. It would require much more resources than we have yet, because giving away this on an entirely volunteer based is clearly difficult for Emily and for me a bit less right now, but also. So we'll see how and when we could get some funding to at least, you know, have our fees. We must be able to pay for the hosting and things like that. So, but that's precisely on the list of what we want to grow. Thanks again. Aha, thank you. Can somebody write anything on a paper and circulate it? Oh, great. Is that, hey, oh, we'll see. So, I'm shuffling them. Oh, great. Let's add some more entropy to the pool. So that's the, we usually, oh, so I don't know who is giving it to me. It's circulating somewhere. I don't, yeah, and I'm not watching, okay. So we used to do this in the context of Ask Me Anything sessions. We had I'm a psychotherapist, ask me anything. We also had I'm a motion therapist, ask me anything. And so we had these boxes where people a few hours before were starting to put their questions. So we're starting the asking for a friend session. So oh, I know this. Not able to get out of bed, endless sleeping on and on. I'm familiar with this. This can be linked to many things, of course. And again, disclaimer, asterisk on my forehead. I'm no medical doctor. I'm not psychotherapist. I can just speak from my experience and the experiences around mine. This is what happened to me when I burnt out. This is what happened when, after thinking it was all gonna be fine, I finally crashed. But not when I just crashed, because it took me some time before I acknowledged I was crashing. It took me all this time to slow down. I went for 4 months and a half in Latin America thinking, oh, this is gonna be a break. And ended up spending the 2/3 of my time doing activism there in Ecuador, in Brazil, in Mexico, and didn't rest that much. Had very good time, met the most amazing people. But I was somehow prolongating out of context what was hurting me. So to me, it happened as a very beneficial thing when I finally acknowledged, okay, I slowed down, I stopped, I am stopped, I spent 6 months sleeping all the time. And I, at first I felt really guilty about it. When I would meet my fellow activists, I would tell them like on a low voice, I slept 12 hours because I was really ashamed. I knew they were sleeping 3 or 4 and 12, can you imagine? I slept 12 hours and I woke up and then I slept again. And it took me some weeks or months to get rid of the shame and acknowledge that this is what my body was willing to do now, so I would do it. So if the pattern is just sleeping a lot, I would say it's no big deal if you can afford it. If you won't be kicked out of your home because you cannot pay the rent, if you won't starve because you cannot afford the food, then just do it. Then if sleeping all the time goes along with having no motivation for doing anything or seeing anything, or if you feel bad for even speaking to anyone, well, first of all, maybe you could lower the consumption of marijuana. And if this doesn't help, then maybe it's a sign where you should try and make an effort to seek assistance. It's very easy to say, much easier said than done. Oh yeah, just go and do something when you feel like not doing anything. Is of course, easier said than done. But some points, there are some moments in life where, like a kind of shame you would have to get rid of, it's perfectly okay to reach out and ask for help. And I think it's also with this notion of presence, it is maybe one of the most important cultural patterns we have to hack, that we have to instill in our movements, in our communities, if we want to spread this well-being and this care, is that it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to feel bad, and it's okay to reach out. It's okay to how do you say, to reach a hand for someone and try and get some help. If sleeping all day goes along with not being able to do anything, I hope friends are around. This is a very nice elephant. This is a beautiful haystack for our needles. Thanks for you haystackers. I have an idea, but I wouldn't say. Lorem ipsum, la la la. This is a pseudo question. Thanks so much for this one as well. We have a beautiful haystack. You know what? I may keep them for later. If you have more noise or a signal to contribute, please do so while we take other points over there.
Yeah, you said or you thought about like you, many people know about some friends that run this live production system that we are maybe to the way. Yeah, on a stress level that is beyond what is normal and healthy and whatever. And yeah, sometimes they are a little bit stubborn or, they don't want to listen to the inner voice that tells you, oh, right, you're running into a situation of, like, for example, burnout or whatever. And they really have to go to the point of breakdown to realize, okay, there's this point where I realize I did too much. And you think, is there a way to lead them before or just like go with them, share and say like, okay, I'll be there for you if you need help? Or what is your approach with that?
Thanks for that. It's very true, very relevant. First of all, there is not one size fits all approach, of course. And of course, it's extremely difficult, and I wouldn't say impossible, to make people good against their will. Well, I would say it's close to impossible, but sometimes there are some hacks. There is a fantastic book in French by social scientists called La Soumission Librement Consentie. So the freely consented submission, and another one from the same one called how is it called? Well, it's from the same authors, which was about forcing people to participate in prevention endeavors. For instance, you ask people living next to a highway to put a big sign in their garden saying, slow down, 9 people out of 10 will refuse. But if you go knock their door and say, hey, would you like to put this sticker on your window saying, please slow down, 9 people out of 10 would accept. And if you come to them the next week and say, oh, I see you have the sticker, why don't you put the sign in your garden? Maybe 5 out of 10 will accept instead of 1 out of 10. This is this kind of experiments that they describe for serving very concrete purposes of saving electricity in a hospital or having people put condoms in some risky environments and the such. And so there are such mind tricks that can be played, but I wouldn't go there. And it's, you understand how touchy it is as an issue. You wouldn't want to manipulate people, really. But in my mind, there are at least three, I wouldn't call them three phases, but three types of action we can be part of. Prevention, detection, and mitigation. Whenever we're speaking of depression, of burnout, or anything else, you could try and prevent. So let's all sit together and agree that whenever someone feels super stressed, feels tired, but at the same time doesn't manage to sleep, or feels super isolated, they would at all cost come and speak to us. And if they don't feel like it, there's a box over there, we're gonna check it every day, you can just put a paper in the box. That's prevention. Detection is getting your eyes open, speaking about it, asking among each other, do you think this person is going fine? Or maybe, I'm worried that they would go and go and talk to this person saying, you know, if you need a break, just, you know, just take a few weeks, go as long as you want, just take that break before it goes worse. And mitigation is what you do when people can't get out of bed and can't do anything and they're so low that they feel like nothing can be done. So of course, at these different levels, there are different things to do, but somehow they all amount to the same fundamental basis of being present, being kind, being attentive, and also reaching out for people more knowledgeable than you when you think you don't have an idea, you don't have an answer. And the more we can learn to do this collectively, the more we'll build this as patterns in our communities, the less it would feel awkward or even shameful to reach out for help and speak to people around before it's too late. I hope.
Since you're doing this for such a long time now and know so many people, I'd like to have an estimate. What do you think, when will we be there that a 19-year-old kid can come to a CCC meeting with important members or Quadratudenet, Netzpolitik, whatever, and say, if it's going loud, hey, moment, have a moment, I'm not feeling very good here, can we talk about it? Do you think we are there already, or what would be your estimate?
And not Jeremy Zimmerman, but...
In our experience, we already have dozens of people who came to the tea house, found a hand massage guide, or heard about hacking with care, or came to a session sometimes, and came back sometimes very obviously, who is hacking with care? Shake, not feel good. In that case, of course, orienting them with the people who seem the more qualified.
Was meant the other way around.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. For the
question was not clear. The question was that you already said people, and I can imagine that, were saying, yeah, Jeremy the hippie who's coming with hacking with care now. And I think we can all imagine how it would be for a 19 years old kid to tell some of the old people, oh, we should talk about our feelings now in an important meeting, for example, where, and very often my experience is that the mood has a direct influence on the outcomes of those meetings. So it's an important thing you're telling about, but yeah, how far are we there? What do you think?
Well, it's very hard to answer. First of all, I'm the least qualified of everybody else being part of the collective, so I'm the least person you should come and talk to. My answer would mostly be drink some tea or... I'm joking, of course. Well, the more we will develop this collective and this network of solidarities of people who care about these issues, the more there will be people to ask a question about this, so the easier it will be. And also, as I told earlier, I think it's about somehow hacking our culture and hacking our cultural values. It's about instilling these ideas within our movements, making it the DNA of the movements to come. And if next time you see some such 19 years old come and sit in the hackerspace and look like very stressed out, or you feel like they need some help, maybe you will go and ask them, are you all right? Do you need to talk? Maybe we can go in the kitchen or somewhere else and talk. And then maybe you would reach out for somebody else. Maybe you would ask me and I would connect you with somebody else, and that somebody else could get in touch with this 19 years old. So this happened quite a lot in the past. Much of what I've done in one-to-one was very often to connect people with other people, with members of our collective, with checking before everything, with telling them, oh, this psychotherapist, she's not just a random person with a white lab coat and an authority and a professional, blah, blah, blah. She's Manon, my dear friend, and I fully trust her. And she uses GPG. So I could give you the fingerprint to her key, so you could write her in a way that you would consider trusted enough. So if you feel, go and ask your question. So I think if we don't have the answer, it doesn't mean we cannot listen at least part of the question, which means respecting everyone's privacy, of course, and not getting too much information. But it doesn't have to be one-on-one. It can be one to many. And we can be a very important part of this. I've some of the most meaningful things I've done were actually to make people aware that what they thought was not important, not worth considering, probably no big deal, was actually something important. And that it was actually totally okay to reach out. And that if I had no answer, it doesn't mean that they should stop looking for an answer and helping them reach the answer. In that sense, I didn't do much. I was just connecting people together and just somehow convincing people that they were precious and beautiful and that they deserve better than just suffering. I see we have a question for a friend. Any advice, experiences about the tendency to optimize psyche or body too much? When to stop, aka therapy, not to hack myself? You'll have to fix me before going on. When to stop? Is it... How can I ask for reformulation of this question without... optimizing psyche or body too much? When to stop a therapy? Ah, I don't really, really understand what this means. But for instance, optimizing the body, I've seen people either going into, I don't know, silly musculation exercises, or and ended up not feeling well about it. It depends on what you hear by optimizing. Optimizing is already a very connoted term that comes from the quantified self kind of bullshit, the quantified world, the world in which either you count or things don't exist. So I would say that this approach to try and optimize something as subtle and complex and sensitive as a body or a mind, maybe in itself a wrong approach. So I would tend to help people maybe look at this and question this. You think you're optimizing yourself, but aren't you pushing in some direction? Are you sure you need that? Is it really making you feel better? And try to replace this question of optimization with very basic notions of how do I feel now? How do I feel now compared to 1 week ago? How do I feel now compared to 1 year ago? How do I want to feel sometime soon? It doesn't need to be quantified. It doesn't need to be numbers. And maybe, yeah, people trapped in the numbers of the quantified blah, 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 help them get out to find other type of answers. I hope this brings a bit of an answer. Other comments, suggestions, return of experience? Aha.
More the obvious question that might have people watching this. I checked the website for when and where to meet you guys, and the list ends at the Congress that just happened. So are there any upcoming events where people could meet you, like Easterhag or the camp in the Netherlands in summer?
Thanks. It's a good question. Thanks for asking it. We plan on organizing a session in Berlin, but so far it's a vague project. Sometimes in the spring, maybe we would tag it along maybe Republika, because many people come from all over the place for Republika, so it would be an occasion for them, if we do things right, that they could also participate into it. This is all to be discussed. We plan to do this session in Warsaw, but again, no time and date yet. About the Dutch camp, it is very likely. And again, I didn't discuss with the rest of the people. It is very likely that there will be a tea house again. So it is very likely that the people on the tea house will be the people of Hacking with Care. So it's very likely that you will see the manuals and the things. And also, I think it's a much better setup than the Congress, where everybody is so busy. So we can organize more sessions. So it's just a prediction. But yeah, there might be any of these. And well, to complement an answer to your question, one thing we've been very vaguely thinking about, which is extremely complex, is how we could someday provide something such as an hotline, kind of a response team. But you imagine how complex it is. How can you respect anyone's privacy? How can you organize availability of volunteers? How can you be sure that if we cannot place a broad call like psychotherapists of the world, come and join us to do the hotline, it would be a disaster. So it has to go with the slow yet steady growth of a collective, that maybe we'd find a solution for that. But I would love that it's a caricature, but I would love that someday on the Hacking website you have a big red or pink or purple button that you can press with, I'm not feeling well right now. And that you can anonymously type something like, yeah, I don't wake up, I don't sleep, I don't eat, or whatever else, and could get an answer. Oh, maybe we could inspire ourselves from the leaking platform software. I think it was in GlobalLeaks where you submitted something, then get a number, and could reconnect using this number to see if there was something for you. Ha ha ha. Thanks for asking. Yeah. Anything else? Please, please, please. The stickers await. Oh, so let me tell you an anecdote. Some of you may know about graphic design. I told you we were a bit breaking with what we knew about activism with Hacking with Care, trying to do it in a different way, on a different mode, on a different rhythm. And this is, to me, a very important part of the experiment. We did a suicidal design choice. You know that when you build a logo, you want to choose one color, because one color is your graphical identity. And you need a graphical identity, right? So when we were iterating on the logo, I've never done so many iterations before reaching a logo. We thought purple is something between pink and blue. Meh. We thought, yeah, maybe an orange. And we couldn't find a color, so we decided the official color would be skin. So we just have two, which is not good. It's binary. It's just a first print, a first test. We can have as many colors as we want. We can have light brown, dark brown, light pale, yellow, green, whatever applies for skin color. So we decided our official color would be skin, so it can be many different colors any graphic designer would tell us we're a bunch of morons because you don't do that. But yeah, you just have two, sorry again for the binarity, skin tones here. They're the first edition nickname, Pale and Chocolate. And if there is no question, comment or suggestion, I suggest you all get your Pale and or Chocolate stickers, along with those Do Not Fit the Google stickers I'm very proud of as well. So I mix them along. And I also want you to feel free to ask any of your questions later in a cozier setup, either here for some minutes or maybe at the Stammtisch at Tucholsky Straße, or maybe on the internet or any other time. And again, thank you so much for the CCCB people. You don't know how meaningful it is to me that you people ask me to speak about this here. It's like, thanks for the family feeling of it all. Thanks so much.
So we thank you. So we are really happy that you're here, that you came here, that you told us all of this to take care more about us and also about all our fellow hackers, something which I think everybody of us knows somebody where we could definitely use this knowledge, or perhaps should have used that in an earlier place, but now can do this in the future. So thank you very much, Jeremy. For everybody who wants to see something again, so want to rewatch it or show it to somebody, we will upload this talk to mediaccc.de. There's, I think, a category Datengarten. There you'll find it. We also will tweet about it and link it on our website. And yes, for the last time, thank you very much. And everybody who still has a question, you will be around a bit.